On June 3, 2020, the Security Council adopted Resolution 2524, establishing the UN Integrated Transition Assistance Mission in Sudan, UNITAMS, to provide support to the country. My name is Abdelmoneim Maki, and my guest here today is Mr. Volker Pertz, the head of UNITAMS. Thank you so much for being with us here today, Mr. Volker. And UNITAMS is supporting Sudan through a range of political, peace-building and development initiatives. Can you elaborate on that?
Well, the main purpose for UNITAMS is to be there to help Sudan through its transition period, both with regard to the political transition, the aim being a democratic civilian government in Sudan, and through the transition to peace. And actually, there's also a third transition, a transition towards economic recovery. So we are trying to help, together with the UN country team, on these three dimensions. And of course, given the recent events we have seen in Sudan, some things have become much more difficult. There are questions as to whether Sudan is still or will be able to return to a path towards democratic transition. We are optimistic that this will happen and that we can lend our support to the Sudan and to the Sudanese people in this respect.
So, as you mentioned, the transitional period in Sudan was disrupted because of the coup that took place in October 25th. After the coup, the UN was heavily involved in the mediation process between the parties, which resulted in the return of Mr. Abdalla Hamdok, the Prime Minister. What do you think about the situation right now in Sudan? Do you think the transitional process will go back to its normalcy?
Well, I don't know what the normalcy is, because it was never a normal process. I mean, Sudan and the transition in Sudan were exceptional in many respects. So the challenge is to get enough consensus in the country to embark together on the rest of the transitional period. And indeed, as you said, the Prime Minister is back, but we are not yet out of the crisis. The Prime Minister is back on the basis of an agreement which was locally mediated. A lot of local actors involved here. We facilitated that to some extent, coordinated to some extent with the mediation initiatives, but it was very much a Sudanese mediation that took place. Crisis is not over because a substantial part of the political forces and of the public do reject the agreement between Prime Minister Hamdok and General Burhan because they see it as a legalization of the coup. So I think the challenge is to make clear to everybody, particularly to the domestic public, that Sudan can come and will come back onto this democratic path of transition. It needs a lot of confidence-building measures, starting with thorough investigation of the human rights violations that happened after the military takeover of 25 October.
Many people have been demonstrating after the developments of October 25th. And even after Mr. Hamdok was reinstated, some people have become even more skeptical about the partnership between the civilians and the army. What do you think about this partnership? Do you think it's genuine?
Well, it could have been, let me put it like that, but maybe we all idealized it a bit, the international community, but also local actors, by depicting Sudan as a model for civilian-military partnership. I would think that most people today in Sudan would no longer speak of a partnership between the civilian and the military component. Everybody knows you cannot wish the other component away. They are there. The military cannot rule without the civilian, and the civilians cannot simply wish that the military would disappear. So they have to work together, but I think the challenge will be more to get a working relationship to emerge rather than thinking about it in this somewhat idealistic term as a partnership. Mm.
You met both Mr. Hamdok and General Al-Burhan. What did they say?
Look, I'm meeting them both regularly, and of course there are people outside and the social media perhaps who say I shouldn't meet with the one or I shouldn't meet with the other, or I shouldn't meet with the generals in the first place, or I shouldn't meet with militia leaders or with people who have blood on their hands, because this would legitimize certain actors. But that is a misunderstanding of the role of the United Nations. United Nations will always try to seek all stakeholders, to see all stakeholders, and to seek dialogue and try to avoid bloodshed and go for negotiated solutions. And so much of my talking, of course, with people like Prime Minister Hamdok or General Burhan has been, particularly after the coup of 25 October, has been about how to avoid further bloodshed, how to find a way out of the crisis. And sometimes you speak about small steps in order to find a way out of the crisis, not about the solution everybody wishes for at the end of the period after elections, when hopefully fully fledged civilian democratically elected government will take over.
Back to the agreement between Mr. Hamdok and General Burhan. You welcome that agreement despite the fact that many Sudanese people are not happy about it. What's your message to them?
I did welcome it as a first step. So therefore I'm saying I cautiously welcomed it, because I always said it was a first step which has to be followed by others. Mm. A step to avoid further bloodshed, a step potentially to return to constitutional order, and possibly an opportunity to get a real dialogue started on the divisive issues for Sudan. And what I'm telling the people, I'm telling people exactly this. Mm. I'm also meeting with people who totally reject this agreement and who say they don't want any mediations, they don't want any partnerships, they don't want any negotiation with the military. Once you start talking with one another, you don't necessarily agree, and I'm not trying to convince anybody. I'm just trying to make people understand that this is what we do as the United Nations. We are going for negotiated solutions, and sparing bloodshed is very much a primary goal, a priority for us.
Turning to Darfur, the tribal fighting has resulted in the death of many people, while hundreds fled their homes due to the insecurity in the region. What's the role of UNITAMS in de-escalating the situation in Darfur?
Hey, let me say it's not purely tribal, and sometimes tribal stands in for explaining something which is much more multicausal. I mean, there's a lot of armed banditry there in the region, which has little to do with tribal conflicts. Some of the intercommunal conflicts are politicized, are used by political actors. The lack of security, the lack of state capacity, of course, is a result of political decisions, not of the last 2 years, but rather of the last 30 years. So I think we shouldn't overlook the political dimension in what is happening in Darfur. What are we doing? We are not a peacekeeping mission, as UNAMID was. UNAMID was there with up to 7,000, at the end, 7,000 uniformed personnel. I have 21-1 police officers there who can help the Sudanese police in developing their own capacities and the protection of civilians or in community policing. And that is what has to happen. We are not there to replace the Sudanese state. We don't have a mandate for that. We are there to support the state building capacities or the capacity building of the Sudanese police and other law enforcement agencies.
Mr. Forker, what do you think about the future of Sudan amid all this uncertainty?
Well, in the general way you're asking the question, I will answer it. I'm optimistic about the future of Sudan. I do see the current phase as part of a long-standing struggle over the future of Sudan, but I'm also working with the Sudanese people, and I see them as such intelligent, aware of their future, aware of their destiny people, that I cannot but imagine that they will carry their country into a better future, into a democratic future, and we are just here to help them.